This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan, and actually we're live from Globe Life Field getting ready for some Rangers right here on 105.3 The Fan. Now, if you want to jump into the conversation, I would love that. 877-881-1053, frankelfirm.com text line, or you can hit us up on the Twitch, or you can hit us up on the YouTube. Guys, I was thinking about this a lot. Now, this is partially because of Mike. You know, Mike, like, I feel
Thanks a lot, Mike.
No, it's not a bad thing.
Oh, okay, never mind.
I feel like you've been clear talking about your lapse in Cowboys fandom and your love of the Chiefs and everything like that. And so I saw a tweet the other day, and I understand why these tweets come out. The Dallas Cowboys, this is from Beto Turbanis 3.
Ah, former senator, right?
I don't think that is correct.
All right.
The Dallas Cowboys do not deserve your unwavering support. They do not deserve your year-in and year-out loyalty. Jerry Jones does not prioritize winning. I don't even need to say what he prioritizes because we all know. We all know how this ends. So, that's led me to my question. And, Corey, I want to start with you.
All right.
And then pivot over to Mike and get the feedback of the people. When, if ever, is the last time you became loyal to and switched to a new team? Because I was talking about this with my wife, and I was supportive of especially the mid-90s Braves because I love Greg Maddux and I wanted him to win a World Series. But if it was the Braves against the Rangers, no way in hell I would have rooted for the Braves. So what I want to know is, like, have y'all had a moment where you have fundamentally switched allegiances in whatever sport, and what led you to that?
No, but I have taken on second teams and rooted for those as an interest.
What do you think has led to that? Is it dissatisfaction?
My team wasn't going to be in the playoffs. Okay. Like, I knew for a long time the Rangers weren't going to be competitive in playoffs. And so I was like, I want to watch playoff baseball. And so I'd pick a random team to be like, all right, I'm supporting that. It did lead to the Dodgers pretty easily. I mean, the Dodgers were Oral Hershiser was my favorite pitcher. And,
sure.
And Mike got to pitch with him as his coach and everything. That's awesome. The Mavericks, I stuck with the Mavericks. I thought about being a Spurs fan until the Mavericks got good.
Gross.
Until the Mavericks got good.
You chose like the rival.
but that was at an age too where I was like, hey man, I'm just going to root for the state. And then I grew up. With the Stars, it was always Stars. And with the Cowboys, it was always Cowboys. And that reason, Kevin, was we had won Super Bowls. We were competitive. We were
True.
In the playoffs. And they do just enough every year to keep me coming back into the – oh, you're in the playoffs. That's competitive.
Now, Mike, another reason – like, I know where you're going to go with the Chiefs and everything, and I want to hear about that. But I was thinking about that a lot, and I was just like, it just kind of feels what you get stuck with, at least to me. I know you don't have to get stuck with it.
Right.
But, like, I went to A&M. I know that A&M perpetually underperforms or disappoints. So if I could just pick –
yeah.
I would definitely pick somebody better.
Yeah.
Like, you know, if I had the opportunity to pick, I just don't know if I have like that, I don't know, component in me.
Yeah.
And I sometimes wish I did.
So there's a lot here, but I'll start off with this. Somewhat divorcing the Cowboys.
Yeah.
And look, I still watch them, but they don't affect me either way, winning or losing, is being a fan of really Patrick Mahomes, because once he retires, which I don't know, 10, 15 years from now,
yeah.
I don't know if I'm going to be a Chiefs fan.
Sure.
I'm not really a Chiefs fan. I'm a Patrick Mahomes fan. I'm a Trevor Lawrence fan. He's severely disappointing. Here's the thing about if you say I'm done with the Cowboys and you truly are, is when you pick another team or a quarterback or a player, for instance, in basketball, it's not the same. I do not feel at all anywhere close to the pain of losing or the joy of winning.
Okay.
So in a way, when you say this, when the Chiefs have lost, oh, dang it.
But you're not like my day or my week or
right,
whatever.
Right, no, it's a deal, but not that big of a deal. When they win the Super Bowl, like they have, I don't feel like, oh, man, we did it. Can you believe it? The team that I, you know, grew up with, the team that I've been rooting for when they had Elvis Gerback. Like, no,
right.
I have none of that. So I understand when people choose players over teams.
Yeah.
That's kind of the other thing is I think there's a lot of young people now that don't choose the Texas Rangers or the Dallas Cowboys or the Dallas Mavericks. They choose a player to kind of follow or players. So I look at it and say there's a lot of people now growing up that are not loyal to their city teams. They really love specific players. Talking to Josh Young, he never liked the Texas Rangers. He never liked the San Antonio Spurs. He grew up in San Antonio.
Yeah.
He never liked the whoever. He just said, I just loved players. And
he's a
like,
card collector too, right?
Yeah, and yes. He loved in a weird way. He's like, I mean, it's amazing how many guys are huge fans of his because I heard Patrick Mahomes say he was a huge fan of him too. Josh Young, huge fan of him. Alex Rodriguez. So
yeah.
So when Alex Rodriguez was a Texas Ranger, Josh Young would watch some Texas Ranger games when he was really little because he loved Alex Rodriguez. Patrick Mahomes loved Alex Rodriguez or watching Alex Rodriguez. And so it's not – you'll never feel the same. If you do quit the Cowboys, like you're like, I am going to quit the Cowboys. I'm doing it, and I'm going to follow name the quarterback.
Sure.
You're not going to have the same – the heart will not be in it the same way.
Okay.
And think about last year, too. Think about the Mavs 11 season.
Sure.
And then think about last year.
Sure.
And, like, that was the first one, and it did feel like the first time. But
– I was excited for way longer.
How sweet did it feel, though?
It was
– I mean, you're right. You stayed – excited longer too
because you went through all the S.
Yeah,
you know, like somebody right now I saw texted in excuse me, and they said I'm thinking about becoming a Chiefs or a Bengals fan, and like we've talked about it, be a fan of who you want to be a fan of.
Fan of us first.
Yeah, I just wonder, to Mike's point, is it going to resonate with you if, like, let's say the Bengals go on a run and win the Super Bowl? Like, I know you'll be happy. But is it going to resonate with you when you're like, man, I remember when freaking Joe Montana took my Super Bowl away, or I remember this, or I remember that? Because that's what I was thinking when the Rangers won the World Series. I know we don't have to dwell on it now, but it was inevitable that you thought about that 2011 series or the 2010 series, or hell, I even thought about when we lost to the Yankees three times in a row in the playoffs when I thought we were going to go dominate in the mid to late 90s. And so I don't know if you get those emotional highs. You probably don't, to Mike's point, you don't get those emotional lows either.
I also think this, and I've said this on many occasions, because of where we are in life now with social media, the access to the internet, you can be a fan of anything, anywhere.
Because you can watch whatever you want.
When you were a kid, when we were kids, we only had access to this and maybe occasionally a national game. But we only had access to what was local to us. Even the newspaper, everything was catered to our local stuff. You moved. My buddy moved up to Colorado. He became a Rockies fan. He becomes a Broncos fan because that's what he's focused on. That's what's there, and he didn't have as much access to the stuff. But now you can be a fan anywhere in the world.
I think about that, Mike, when you describe the, hey, I watch the games, the football games that are on network TV for the NFL. And I think about that, like, I think it's great that they have all this stuff. I think back to, like, I don't know, the beginning of the 90s if you moved, if you're like, how the hell am I supposed to watch this crap?
The other, and also think about this too.
The newspaper the next day.
I guess so.
How many people?
I've heard those
and I know we this kind of is broad with all the sports, but how many people when Jerry fired Tom Landry didn't want to see Jerry succeed?
Oh sure.
And so a lot of Cowboys fans and other fans out there, that's their approach is, I just don't want Jerry to win it. And even no matter what, I like the Cowboys. I just don't want that success for Jerry. While he's been very financially successful at everything else.
Okay, so there's a couple of texts, and I want to address this as well, because I appreciate we're getting lots and lots of feedback. From the 817, we lose one damn game, and Kevin's trying to convince us to switch our allegiances in the first conversation.
That is how Kevin works, man.
No,
he's like,
no, no.
You just put on a pair of flip-flops, dude.
I wish I could tell you
that
I'm ready to, like, go embrace whatever other team. It's not going to happen. Like, as much as the Cowboys agitate me, I just feel like it was passed down. Like, I watched the Cowboys with my mom. And now me and Brandon have watched the Cowboys together, and hopefully...
And the Steelers. You're a huge Steelers fan.
And then me and Noah. So, like, it's just, that's where we live.
Are you sure Noah's watching?
No. I said eventually. No, there's no chance in hell. He's like, hey, this isn't Danny Go. But, like... it just feels like it's a part of me, and I'm not going to switch. So that's why I was kind of curious for the people who did, because you get another one from the 972. You don't trade teams.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Guys, you stick with them no matter what. Because I think what y'all were saying is, I think that's becoming a little bit more of a passe concept because of the access that you have to everything. You're like, I could become a hardcore Liverpool fan or whatever and watch everything.
I guess you could become a hardcore fan of another football team. I'm not saying you can't. I haven't. The one thing about sticking with the Cowboys is this, and it's very different from the Mavericks, Rangers, and Stars. Whenever you turn on the national television, NFL network, ESPN, your team is going to be talked about 50% of the time. Yeah. And then the 31 other teams get the other 50%. That is the great thing about being a Cowboys fan, and I think why maybe they have lost, you talked about it yesterday, Kevin, maybe they have lost fans over the last 2 or 3 years. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I do know this, they get so many fans around the world because if you do have NFL Network in Italy or you have NFL Network in Canada or Mexico or ESPN and you want to follow the NFL, you've decided, man, I really like this sport. We don't have it really in our country, but I really like this sport. Yeah. Who are you going to follow? When you're watching these shows, you're like, well, 50% of the time they're talking about this team. I know this team the best in the NFL. They're the most popular. They are above average, right? The Cowboys for the last 20 years have been above average. They just don't live up to the standard they created for their history. Like they did, they used to have and Yankees haven't won in forever either, but they did have a Yankee standard. They did have a Lakers Celtic standard. Yeah. They've fallen off that standard. Now, to me, they have an average standard, and then living above average is, look what we're doing. We're 12-5, our quarterback second in MVP. But it is great when you do follow the Cowboys. You don't have to search out content. It is thrown into your face.
Yeah. I think about from the start of the franchise, I think it took 6 years to get to the then NFL championship game. There was never a run of more than like 3 or 4 years where you weren't in that game at the most. And then you hit from 81 to 92, and now you've gone from 95 to now. So you've seen like a dramatic drop off with that.
And Kevin, I did want to go back to this. Somebody did throw the so we're going to spend a whole segment talking about switching teams after one loss. I think this about our show. I really do think this about our show. Our show sounds like anything you would hear at a bar. And yeah, there are guys that are going to be at a bar and they're watching the Cowboys game and them getting their butts kicked by the Saints, and they're like, I'm done with this team. And then the other two guys are sitting there going, Hey man, it's okay. Come back. Here, have another shot. That's what our show's always been in my mind, is just we're just bringing up stuff that we would talk about anyway, man.
Yeah, and if that's your takeaway for all of us from the segment, I don't know quite how you got there. From the 817, too bad I swore my allegiance. This person did, not me, to the Steelers in 2004, and now let them and Texas A&M dictate how my weekend goes. And then
we only had proof that you weren't a Steelers fan, it would feel like
I love
better.
The Dallas Cowboys. I told you, I've seen it all. Well, at least while I've mostly been alive. But then I see people are like, hey, it's easier for me to change the channel. Not that that's not still my team, but it's easier for me to change a channel. And then there's other people, and I totally get this, are like, I'm always worried that the year or 2 years that I ditch is when they catch lightning in a bottle and win, and I'm going to be like,
yes!
Son of a gun.
I thought about that last year as they fell into the two seed, right? They didn't earn it at the end. They fell into
sure
it.
Sure, they did.
And you're like, they're going to finally make the NFC Championship game. Like, everything was set up for them to be in the NFC Championship game. I'm not going to say easily, but the easiest path that they've probably had since the 07 year, I'm going to guess.
I could see that.
Was there, and they didn't come close, but in the moment when they made the playoffs and were the two seed last year, as a former Cowboy fan, I thought, well, this is interesting. At the time that I really, like, I'm able to divorce this team mentally in every way that it is very tough to do, they're actually going to accomplish the thing that I thought that they would never accomplish again, in a way, the rest of my life.
Yeah. I understand that line of thought. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. We're live from Globe Life Field, getting ready for some Rangers baseball at 1:35. Coming up next, though, let's talk with BaltimoreRavens.com reporter Clifton Brown right here on 105.3 The Fan.
It is Lamar Jackson goes wide. Formation. He can throw it. Here he's going to keep it. Push it forward. And he's in for a touchdown.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105 Through the Fan. We're live from Globe Life Field in Arlington. And right now, brought to you on the D&M Hotline, leasing hotline. There we go. We bring to you from BaltimoreRavens.com reporter Clifton Brown. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
We're doing good. Now, obviously, I know a lot of the national media goes into, let's talk about Derrick Henry, let's talk about Lamar Jackson, and I get all that. But I actually want to talk about, like, anybody but those two to start off with. And I guess my question is, how are the Ravens 0-2? You look at the fact that they haven't lost the turn. They've got as many turnovers as they've given up. They've outgained both opponents. How did they fall to 0-2?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think, you know, I'd point to giving up too many big plays at key times. And then I would also point to just the offense, too many mistakes. I mean, they're only two teams have been penalized more than the Ravens. So even though they're moving the ball well, they're having too many plays that are being nullified, too many plays, situations where they're first and 15 or second and 25. It makes it hard to sustain drives. And then, you know, in both games this year, they've had a chance to win in the fourth quarter, but, you know, have come up short, either not being able to stop the Raiders in the fourth quarter or not ultimately being able to get, you know, the tying touchdown against the Chiefs at the very end of the game. So two games they could have won, but they won neither, and now they're in trouble.
So you don't actually think that Gardner Minshew turned into the best quarterback in the NFL like that fourth quarter?
For just a minute, he
did. Like that fourth quarter led me to believe, right?
He's been looking like that against the Ravens. I mean, last year, Minshew beat the Ravens when he was with the Colts. So they really don't want to see any more of Gardner Minshew. Something about the Ravens turns him into Superman. And, yeah, he and Adams really picked apart the Ravens in that fourth quarter. Adams is a great player. Minshew made some great throws. And, yeah, it was, I think, kind of stunning to see it happen again to the Ravens with Gardner Minshew, but it did. And, again, that leaves them 0-2 heading to Dallas.
I know by no means are the Ravens thinking about this, or maybe they are. They're just not discussing it. But how important is this game for the Ravens, especially when you look at the next two games on their schedule? Because I'm not saying this will happen, but you look at that schedule and say, I could potentially see 0-5.
Yeah, well, they've got Buffalo at home after this game with the Cowboys on Sunday Night Football. We know Buffalo's undefeated. Then they go to Cincinnati in Week 5, and even though the Bengals are 0-2, we know how good they can be with Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase and that crew. So, yes, I mean, this is a huge game for the Ravens, even though it's only Week 3. No team has ever won the Super Bowl starting 0-3. Only one team since 2000, the 2018 Houston Texans, have made the playoffs after starting 0-3. And obviously the Ravens started this year thinking they're a Super Bowl contender and still think that way after making the AFC Championship. But when you start 0-3, it is almost always meant that you don't make the playoffs, and they don't want any part of that. and would be there if they lost Sunday in Dallas.
We have Brandon Aubrey here, and we love him. I also have Justin Tucker on my fantasy team, and should we stop asking him to kick from 53 yards out?
No, I don't think so.
Okay, all right.
No, obviously Tucker's one of the best who's ever done it. There's been a lot of attention paid to his recent struggles. I believe 1 for 7 from plus 50 yards over his last 7 kicks in that distance. But his leg is still strong. These kicks aren't short. He's missing them wide. His track record, impeccable. Keeps himself in great shape. Still works very hard. I think he's going to snap out of this plus 50, yard problem very soon. And so, no, I wouldn't abandon Justin Tucker ever at this point as being one of the elite kickers. But this is a stretch where, yeah, they certainly could have used those 3 points Sunday. And that has been part of the Ravens' problems. There's a lot of things that they just aren't doing as well as they know they can. And they need to start now because starting 0-2 doesn't give you much wiggle room.
We're talking with Clifton Brown right here from BaltimoreRavens.com. I'm curious your experience on the kind of feedback and criticism Lamar Jackson gets, because he feels like a unique quarterback, much like Dak feels like a unique quarterback in terms of it feels like, man, they get dumped on a lot when things don't go their team's way. And I know a lot of people think Dak gets dumped on the most. I argue that it feels like Lamar Jackson takes a lot of heat. What's been your experience in terms of, like, proportional blame that Lamar Jackson gets?
Well, yeah, I think it's out of order at times. I mean, he's 27 years old. He's won 2 MVPs. He's the youngest to ever win an MVP. He's the youngest to ever win a Heisman. When he came out of college, he had to wait till the 32nd pick to get drafted. I think, obviously, that's been proven to be a major mistake by the NFL, thinking that, he wasn't going to be a great NFL quarterback. The only thing he hasn't done is to get to and win a Super Bowl. That's it. And there have been a lot of great quarterbacks, like Peyton Manning, like Drew Brees, who did not win a Super Bowl at 27. There have been other great quarterbacks, who've never won one. And Lamar, I think he's still getting better. So, yes, he has not been at his absolute best in some playoff games. No, he has not won a Super Bowl. But to think that, you wouldn't want to have him as a quarterback if you're, an NFL team and that you can't win a Super Bowl with him, I think is preposterous. So, I think that that's the world he lives in, though. All quarterbacks get criticized, particularly in playoff games, if you don't play your best. He has to be strong enough to deal with that, just like Dak Prescott, and then believe in themselves that they can do it. So for both of them, we'll see. But I definitely think you can win a Super Bowl with Lamar Jackson. I believe you can with Dak Prescott, too, but you've got to go out there and prove it to shut up the naysayers.
That's a fact right there. And Kevin and I have been Lamar Jackson fans, since he got into the league, actually, when he was a Louisville.
Yeah.
One of the things we always talk about with Dirk Nowitzki is every offseason he'd add something, he'd work on something. What is it that Lamar Jackson worked on the most this offseason, and have you seen that play out for him so far this year?
Yeah, I think the last 2 offseasons, ever since Ty Monken became offensive coordinator, it's, film study and recognizing, what he sees before the ball is snapped. Lamar has more freedom than ever to change plays at the line of scrimmage. If he doesn't see what he likes, get the Ravens into something else. He's taken ownership of the offense, and that's something I think most quarterbacks, as they progress in their career, that's part of making you better. Guys like Tom Brady were great at it. Peyton Manning, before the ball was snapped, sometimes the play was already over in their favor because they knew where they were going and they could see your weaknesses. I think Lamar is getting better at that for sure. I think he will continue to do that. And, yeah, I do think in the long run, having a back like Derrick Henry is really going to help him, because Henry's the type of player who can close games as well. If you have a lead and you have Derrick Henry, he can take you home. So it's not all on Lamar to do that. And I think that, later in the season, when the weather turns, when defenses get a little more tired, having that 1-2 punch is really going to pay off for the Ravens.
Clifton, I like that you brought up Derrick Henry there too, because I know that you got two different backs there that are very different backs. And how have you liked the balance and the way they've used Justice and Derrick on the field?
Well, yeah, it's a new combination in that Derrick's first year here. And I think the Ravens are still trying to find their way as far as, you know, not wanting to be too predictable depending on which one's in the game. You know, if Derrick Henry's in, then defense is thinking they're going to run it. If Justice Hill is in, thinking there's more, they're more apt to throw it. Mm. I do think when Keaton Mitchell, their running back who was really making explosive plays as a rookie last year before he suffered a knee injury, when he comes back at some point this season, I think that's really going to help the backfield be, you know, a little tougher to defend, because Mitchell can come out of the backfield and catch, but he's also an explosive runner. And I think that that 1-2 punch, that kind of thunder and lightning, is really going to be something the Ravens can exploit later in the season. But for now, yeah, I mean, both those running backs are talented, but we know Derrick Henry's a special kind of back. I still think that he's, you know, an elite back at age 30, so much is made of running backs turning 30, but he was number two in the league rushing last year and not playing for a team that had this much talent. So Derrick Henry, I think, is going to be a big factor for the Ravens as we move along in the season.
Now, obviously, I'm sure a lot of NFL teams would be like, I would also like to talk about my complaints about my offensive line. Like, I understand that's just part of the deal. But what have you been your early thoughts about the offensive line? Obviously been some questions about guard. How do you think that's looking early in the season?
Well, they're definitely going through some growing pains. I mean, the Ravens are replacing three starters from last year on the offensive line, which is a lot for a team that, you know, is trying to win a Super Bowl. And they're all young players who are starting. Andrew Voorhees, he's in his second year, but he misses a whole rookie season with a knee injury at left guard. You've got Daniel Falele, who really came into the league as a right tackle, switching to right guard. And then you've got a rookie, Roger Rosengarten, who's been, you know, sharing snaps with Patrick McCary, who is a veteran at right tackle. So, yeah, it's a huge change. They've had some good plays, but they've also had some breakdowns at key times, which have led to sacks by Lamar. I mean, Max Crosby had a huge sack on the Ravens' last possession Sunday that really kind of ended the Ravens' hopes of even getting a, you know, game-time field goal. So it is an issue. The Ravens are hoping that as their line, you know, gets more experience, and then, you know, Ronnie Stanley at left tackle and Tyler Linderbaum, a Pro Bowl center, they're there to help and lead the way, that by the end of the season that the line will be pretty good. That's the Ravens' hope. But there's no question they've had some growing pains the first two games, and it is part of the reason why they've started 0-2.
Any chance you want to give me a prediction for Sunday afternoon?
Sure. I would say that, you know, when the Ravens' backs are against the wall, I feel that's when they play their best. Mm. And I feel that, yeah, 0-2, they're not trying to pretend that it's not a big deal. They know the schedule, just like you guys ran it down. They know the numbers about, you know, teams going 0-3, even though they're not going to give up if they lose Sunday, that they're just digging themselves a bigger hole. I think that the Ravens are going to approach this like a playoff game, do whatever it takes to win. And, you know, I know every week can be different in NFL, but watching the Cowboys last week, I think the Ravens will be able to score against Dallas. And I think that the Ravens' defense is good enough that they'll make enough key plays to probably win a high-scoring game. So I would say something like Ravens 33, Cowboys 27.
Well, obviously, I hope you're wrong.
Yeah. Look, man, don't love the prediction, but love the guest. You're fantastic, Clifton. Thanks for hopping on with us today, man.
All right. Thanks for having me, guys. Take care.
There you go, Clifton Brown from BaltimoreRavens.com. A lot of positive feedback there on the fan text. Appreciate it very, very much. We're the KNC Masterpiece. You know, we're live right here at Globe Life Field. I feel like we should probably do some baseball nuggets.
That sounds like a good idea.
You want to do that next?
Cody Bradford, where does he fit in your 2025 rotation? Next.
The seventh. First pitch to Garcia, hit deep to left. Schneider back at the track. He leaps, it's out of here. El Bombi breaks the scoreless tie. A two-run home run, and the Rangers are in front here in the bottom of the sixth.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. We're live from Globe Life Field in Arlington, getting you ready for some Rangers Blue Jays action. And right now, to help with that, it's time for Baseball Nuggets with Mike Bassett.
Okay, so we're going to start off with the starting pitcher yesterday, and that is our local resident, Cody Bradford from Aledo. He had an outstanding start last night. Now, I think people look at the Blue Jays record and go, well, they're like the Texas Rangers. They've had a below-average season. They're a below 500 team. Last time he pitched against Arizona, Arizona got him. Location is so important to Cody Bradford. And last night, I don't want to say he had perfect location, but he did have his location to be successful. His location is more important than, let's say, Jacob deGrom or today Kamar Rocker, because they do throw the ball in the upper 90s. They do have outstanding breaking balls. Cody Bradford has an okay breaking ball that's getting better. He has a very good changeup, but he pitches off of 90 miles an hour and had a tremendous year. And yesterday, 7 innings, 5 hits, no runs, 6 strikeouts. And the Rangers won 2-0. So if you're not watching, I get it. You moved on to football season. I totally get it. They weren't stressless innings in this. If a guy got on base, the tying run was up to bat. Yeah. In fact, in the first 5 innings,
Whatever you just did, don't do that again.
Yeah, in the first 5 innings, it was a tie game. So he was pitching, if I give up a solo home run, we could lose, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So it was a great game. Right now for the year, he's 6-3. Now he has limited starts because of the rib cage stress fracture injury. 13 games, 12 starts, 72 and two-thirds innings, a 3.59 ERA. That is very good. Now, my question to you is, he's 26 years old.
Yep.
Last year, he had a 5.3 ERA in his rookie year in 56 innings. Where do you want to slot Cody Bradford in your 2025 rotation?
My initial thought was 4 or 5, and this might not be totally realistic, but in my brain, I was thinking we do bring back Eovaldi. So then I would go with DeGrom, and then Eovaldi, and then Malley, and then I guess the way it's looking right now, Rocker and Bradford, and then you'd be like, well, what about Jack Leiter? Well, you know what? We're just still kind of in wait-and-see mode. He's still got an opportunity, and maybe him and Cody Bradford are fighting it out for that last spot. But then again, I understand that Eovaldi might not come back at all, and so then you could just move people up. But I see him. I feel comfortable with him as like a 4.
Okay.
Or maybe a 5.
I guess I have him a little bit higher on my list.
Okay.
But I'm okay with this. So I look at him and I want to slot him at 3 or 4, but I'm not much off. I mean,
sure,
we're about in the same category. I would worry, and nothing against Cody Bradford.
And
here,
you don't think Eovaldi's likely to come back?
I think it's 50-50.
Okay.
How about that?
Yeah.
Because I really don't know. I will say this. I want Andrew Heaney back. I would say there's a 10% chance Andrew Heaney comes back. Not that Andrew Heaney doesn't want to be here. I just look at the finances of the Texas Rangers, and I look at Eovaldi, and I think that they want him back more. He's going to cost more, but in a weird way, if you take out the record, I think that a guy like Andrew Heaney, because he's so versatile, is going to get close to $15 million a year on a two-year deal.
Okay.
Somewhere between, I will guess, 2-24 to 2-30. I don't think the Rangers, looking at this, is going to sound weird because it's been not a very good year for the Rangers. Their starting pitcher depth, I don't think they want to give him that money.
Okay,
and
I understand.
And I think that they'll just get beat out. I think they really like Andrew Heaney's a good teammate. They like him. But when it comes to, if you have Jacob deGrom at close to $40 million, I think it's just under, but close to $40
million. There's nothing you're going to do about that.
You have Cody Bradford on, I say league minimum, but a hair above league minimum. You have Malley on, is it 12, 8? I can't remember his number.
I think it's 12. I'm going to look into that.
I'm going to be honest here. I'm going to include this in my Cody Bradford conversation. I'm just not sure Tyler Malley's ever going to be Tyler Malley.
Yeah.
That's the risk they took. They signed a hurt pitcher, hoping that he would become a healthy pitcher. His, I say, shoulder injury, where he was throwing 88 miles an hour, that is concerning to me in 2025.
Yeah.
So I have, here's my I won't say perfect scenario. By the way, John Gray's at $13 million next year.
And okay,
I don't have him in the Rangers rotation.
I don't either.
I think this, I don't know this, but I think this. I think he can be more valuable with that slider out of the bullpen. I don't know if he wants to do that.
And that's a hefty price in the bullpen.
It really is. The other thing, too, is agent doesn't want that, because agent goes, what if he pitches well out of the bullpen in the sixth, seventh inning role? That's a $5 to $8 million role in free agency. So now if he pitches well out of a rotation, it's a $10 to $20 million deal. Do I want my agent, do I want my client pitching in the bullpen unless he's
not
a closer?
Yeah.
Probably not. So that's an interesting situation where I think that the Rangers will see what is available for John Gray. But in my world, here's what I want. I want DeGrom 1, Eovaldi back at number 2.
Agreed.
Cody Bradford at 3, but we can mix and match here. Tyler Malley at 4, Kamar Rocker at 5. Jack Leiter, who I like, and I think he's going to help out the Rangers a lot in 2025. I think we've seen improvement that he can help. I want him starting in AAA, and somebody say, what about the pen? I totally get it, but I need him stretched out. So when guys get hurt, and we know we're going to use 8 to 10 starting pitchers next year, I need him in the minor leagues throwing 5 to 7 innings a start, so he's when he is ready to start, he's available. Like, yeah, he's coming up. DeGrom needs a rotation off. We think Jack Leiter's coming up here, and Jack Leiter's coming up here to throw 5 to 7 innings, not Jack Leiter's throwing, well,
three.
He's been in the pen.
Yeah.
We can go to 60 pitches, but then after that we have to give him 4 days off. That will be Dane Dunning's responsibility next year. Dane is in the minor leagues, not going to, unless there's major injuries the last 11 games, not being brought up. I think Dane is a long reliever for you next year at a very low salary. And I think he's your guy that, oh no, we need a spot starter. We don't want to call somebody up. I think he will be the guy that, like, he's going to throw 60 to 75 pitches in this start. And then Urania, I don't mind having him back. He is a free agent.
I thought he's been good, yeah.
It'll be interesting, his market. I'd like to have him back. So you look at it, and because, like, Andrew Heaney, I think this is where the Rangers go. We have a limited amount of money to spend. We want Eovaldi back, and I do think they have to add an everyday hitter to the lineup, whether it's DH or first base. From what I understand, and look, we've talked about it, doesn't matter what I think, Corey Seager's going to be your shortstop.
Yeah.
And do you want Ezekiel Duran or Justin Foscue? Or I'm not opposed to Nate Lowe coming back. But here's the thing that I wonder about.
As like a backup, right?
I mean,
he'll start at first, but I mean as a backup plan. Because it feels like everyone had these grand ideals of how to replace him, and now you're kind of like, I mean, maybe he needs to stay.
I think the problem is on, I don't know the date, let's just make it November 1st. You have to either non-tender him, making him a free agent.
Yeah.
So your decision on Nate Lowe has to be made before free agency.
Okay.
But if I bring, let's say, Josh Young, Corey Seager, Marcus Semien, Nate Lowe, Adolis Garcia, Evan Carter, Wyatt Lankford back, Josh Smith, Ezekiel Duran, didn't I just bring back the same offense?
Yeah, you did. You did. And
that doesn't seem like we should do that.
No, it absolutely does not. Can I ask you a quick side bullpen question? Because we've talked about this a lot off air. What do you think of the odds of a return of, I'm going to say Yates, because I'm thinking Yates and Gray, I'm pumped up. Now, the idea of Yates, Gray, and Robertson, great. That feels, for maybe a variety of reasons, significantly less likely.
I think Yates, I really want back.
Yes.
Robertson, I do want back, but I'm not sure he's even going to play baseball next year.
Exactly.
I think that's 50-50 if he plays. And then now, let's just say it moves to 51% he does play. What's the chance he comes back to the Rangers? I would say a lower percentage. Yates, has been more valuable because he's been your closer. And sure. still to this day, he's I think he's 30 of 31.
He's been unbelievable.
So I need him back. I don't even need him to be my closer. I would love for somebody to step up. But Teodo, who's in my minor league system, walking way too many people.
Yeah.
I can't start him the way he walks people. But I can keep extending his arm and see if he gets better at it in AAA to start next year. But I would not put out of the possibility that Teodo, because he throws close to 100, is can he come in and take a seventh inning role? How much do I trust Spores and his shoulder? I don't know. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that's the tough thing. Leclerc's a free agent. I know we've moved on to relievers, and I put a lot into this segment where I think they need further discussions, and there'll be plenty of off-season time. Tomorrow, remember, we don't do baseball nuggets because we do go to Football Friday. Yep. And Mike likes it. We ran out of time. I'm going to talk about what I saw in Seattle, and I can't believe that one series later – playing the game the wrong way has cost them the playoffs.
All right. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, we're switching things around a little bit today. It's time for Gridiron Gravy. Surprising statistics through 2 weeks of the NFL season. Let's do that next right here on The Fan.